Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
With flu season in full swing, now is the time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology in mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama, because beating cancer is our mission.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I have three folks joining me today: Melissa Polhammer, Wendy Sullivan, and Matt House. Now, Melissa Polhammer is with Peace Harbor Hospital, and Wendy and Matt are with Western Lane Ambulance, or Western Lane Fire and EMS, depending on how you want to say that these days. It all works. So what we're going to talk about is mobile integrated healthcare. But first, let's kind of catch up and meet everybody here. We'll start with Melissa. Melissa, tell me a little bit about your background, education. Where are you from?
I'm from Wisconsin originally.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
sure,
don't you know? Yeah.
Yes. And I've been here in Florence for 2 years,
uh-huh.
And I've been a nurse for 13 years. And so currently I'm the care management supervisor at Peace Harbor for inpatient case management.
Okay. Why did you choose healthcare? Was there a defining moment when you said, this is what I want to do, or was it just kind of something that bled through all your education?
I think it's just been in me since birth. I just like to care for other people and give back, and so it's a perfect fit for me.
All right, now this is a very important question, so I want you to make sure you get it right here. All right, Packers or Seahawks? See? I knew she was going to go
right
Packers.
Now.
No, she's going to.
I'm going to say Packers.
She's going to go Packers, that's for sure. Well, you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that. You got to support your home team. You know, that's what it is. All right, now let's move over to Wendy. Wendy Sullivan with Western Lane Ambulance. Now, you're a paramedic. Is that correct?
That's correct, George.
So Matt was telling us off the air that maybe you had a different career before this. You want to talk a little bit about what that is?
I have had several careers. I went to the Naval Academy. As an undergraduate, I studied engineering, and I worked as an aerospace engineer for several years before switching to teaching math. And I came out to Oregon about 20 years ago, taught math in Eugene, and got talked into a desk job from which I escaped into paramedic school. And I've been doing this for about 10 years, and I love it.
So teaching was probably cool. The desk job, probably not so much. Was that what it was?
Yes.
So what did you like about the healthcare side of it to make you want to do that? Or was it by whim, or did you start volunteering? How did that all come to be?
In my first attempt to escape from the desk job, I spent a summer in Yosemite National Park volunteering as a ranger. I got involved in a couple of searches there. And so when I came back, I started volunteering with Lane County Search and Rescue and with Backcountry Ski Patrol. And through that, I realized that medical was still in my blood. My mom was a registered nurse, and that was another way to do problem solving that didn't involve being behind a computer and behind a desk all day.
So you mentioned the ski patrol. So are you like an active skier as well?
I'm an active snowshoer.
Snowshoer. Okay. So you like plodding through as opposed to dangerously heading downhill there, right?
That's right. I know what's going to happen if I hit the tree, and I need to stay warm.
They're very good. Very good. I understand that. So, and Matt, just quickly, we'll catch everybody up with you. You've been in Florence for quite some time now, right?
Since 78.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as my job title goes, I'm the division chief of EMS operations for Western Lane Fire and EMS Authority. And in this realm that we're talking about is I give oversight, guidance, and help the operations with the MIH program.
All right. So Well, we'll go ahead and take a quick break. We normally go a little bit longer than this, but we can take more time in the next section and talk more about that. We're going to speak about mobile integrated healthcare and the partnership between Peace Harbor and Western Lane Fire and EMS. We'll be back in just a minute. With flu season in full swing, now is the time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology in mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mamma because beating cancer is our mission.
On this edition of Doc Talk, we're talking mobile integrated health care and how that all works together with Peace Harbor and Western Lane Fire and EMS. Matt House, tell me a little bit about what mobile integrated health care is before we get into specifics of, you know, what happens with the partnership.
Yeah, you bet. Whereas mobile integrated healthcare, also another term you might hear is community paramedic, is new to Florence. It is not new within the nation. In fact, the pioneers of it was Wisconsin, Minnesota, Colorado, and Texas, and they developed a community paramedic program down there. One of them thought it was a good idea to trademark community paramedic, and so everybody's transitioned the name to mobile integrated healthcare. So that's what you'll hear, MIH, mobile integrated healthcare. The program is designed functionally based off the Affordable Health Care Act from Obama administration. And what that administration put into the health care is essentially accountability. If you have 30-day readmissions, anything that the hospitals won't get the first admission or the 30-day readmission if the patient was admitted in that time frame. So that's where a lot of these major agencies, the big one was out of Dallas, where they were able to show to their population that they saved $2 billion in revenue to the healthcare system by implementing the MIH or community paramedic program there. And then, so that was the big target area, was with the 30-day readmissions. The two other ones that we really focus in on is EMS high utilizers or ER high utilizers. I call them friendly faces because they're in there a lot and we see them quite a bit. But the goal is to deflect those high utilizers and put them in, get them into the areas of the healthcare system that they really need to be in, not in the emergency department. And then recently we've actually, in our area, because every area is different with demographics and geographics, and so we've identified with our palliative care and our population base that our palliative care is another topic that we've added to it. And so we've had four different workloads that we're focusing on, which is preventing 30-day readmissions, which is always best for the patient, and preventing high ER utilizers, EMS utilizers, and assisting palliative care.
And recidivism in healthcare is a lot different than in like, you know, prison care. That's a whole different thing altogether. But anyway, who wants to tell me a definition of palliative care? Melissa?
So palliative care is, it's a choice and it's looking at a patient's goals. And so when I interview a patient, I always ask them first, what are your goals? Because identifying any person's goals in life and what their outcomes they want of their health and their life and their quality of life are so important. And so palliative care helps support that patient's goals. They can adjust or balance what that patient's goals are specifically to that patient. So they can, it's not hospice. A lot of people hear palliative and they immediately think that's hospice and end of life, and that is not what palliative is. It's really focusing on a patient's goals, their comfort, their and their quality of life.
So how does the addition of palliative care come into play with the mobile integrated health?
I'm going to refer that to Wendy because of the workload that she has. All right. Generally on Mondays is her big palliative care day.
Okay.
Right. About one of my days per week, I mostly see palliative care patients. And for many of those visits, I am simply doing a blood draw for their regular check work for the doctor. so that those people don't have to leave home. They don't have to come and sit in the lab and wait, wait for that. I also am able to respond when someone calls the palliative care office and says, I haven't been feeling well, or I'm having this symptom. I am able to often go see that person within a day so that I can let the physician or the nurse practitioner know what is going on and whether it's something that needs their attention or whether it's something that can be settled with some comfort or some advice or change, slight change in medication.
Now, you're a paramedic. Is there any additional training that went into being part of the mobile integrated healthcare specialty? Is there anything you did additionally, or is it basically just the knowledge you have in paramedic medicine?
So my background includes a lot of teaching. I've taught for probably close to 20 years in different situations, as well as my experience as a paramedic. I've worked here in the emergency department, and then I worked at an urgent care clinic in Eugene. So I have a little bit broader experience in terms of the situations in which I've worked than if I had just come out of school being a paramedic.
But, so is currently all the workload on you? Are you the only one who's doing this right now?
That's correct.
And how many hours a week? I mean, I imagine you do you have enough time to do other duties as well, general paramedic duties, or is it all dedicated to the mobile integrated health?
Pretty much it's all dedicated to mobile integrated healthcare.
And is this a 9-to-5 thing, or is this dependent upon the need of the patient?
It is scheduled. So I work 4 10-hour days.
Yeah, that's a great question that maybe people doesn't understand. Really, it's all referral-based. So somebody that was thinking, oh, I'd like to have the MIH employee to come out for a visit, it wouldn't work that way. The physician, the ER, or Melissa would actually say, this patient needs to be evaluated by the MIH. So it's all referral-based is how that plays out, where Wendy will get activated to go out there.
So what are some of the general things that must exist in an evaluation to determine whether or not a person could be on the MIH list?
I think back to, there's several, and they can chime in as well, but really when we're looking at the MIH program and what benefits it brings is really building the bridges in the healthcare system or finding the deficiencies in existing healthcare system and implementing that employee to fill that void. And that's where she comes into. And I know Melissa can talk about how it comes out through the hospital, and I can talk later about how we get referrals from the EMS side for frequent or high utilizers. And so that's where we're at with that.
And is this an insurance-based program? I mean, do these individuals have to have insurance? Are they covered by that? Or is it, how does that work?
No, this has all been provided by for grant. The first 2 years in which we're on our second year of sustainability of that has been provided by grant. And as we're projecting forward and trying to find further financial stability to the program, we're looking at payer mixes like Pacific Source, Medicare, Medicaid, trying to get grant money for the program. And like I mentioned previously, the advantage that we have is that we're slightly late in the game. A lot of people have been playing this game throughout the nation, so there's kind of a roadmap that we can use on how do we get these grant monies from insurance providers, because it ultimately saves the insurance providers money as well.
So in a way, it's being late to the game has actually been helpful a little bit.
It's a double-edged.
Hasn't been helpful for the patients, but well, it's been helpful in organizational.
Double-edged sword, because this is something that I've really thought that this area could use for the last 10 years. So, and then finally we were able to get it up and running, get, you know, people in the right places. And 2 years ago we have it. And so where I'm like, part of me is torn that, you know, it took us this long to get it. The other part of me is ecstatic because we actually have this roadmap and other information throughout the nation that we can pluck from and make this a great program. But it's not just a great program for us. The whole goal is being a pilot for Lane County. So as we're doing this locally, all eyes in Lane County are looking at this. How can we roll this out into the Eugene, Springfield, Oak Ridge, Junction City, and also Crestwell? All those cities is what we're looking at too.
Do people qualify for this both in physical health and mental health as well? Are there aspects of this that are mental health related, or is it mainly just physical health?
right now, currently, it is mainly to it's hospital-based referral to medicine. However, we also, you know, which you've heard, we have the mobile crisis response team up and running, and that's a grant funded also through Lane County that I can see. In fact, we had emails this week about a couple of individuals that we're looking about getting together because they're more of a complex case. They're not just medical, but there are also some behavioral issues. So I do see maybe this being like a fifth leg to the program, but it just hasn't gotten there quite yet because MCR is relatively brand new.
Well, I know this is a term that you won't like to use, but I've heard the term frequent flyer program before.
Friendly faces.
Friendly faces. And I would imagine some of that would also be not necessarily the result of mental health issues, but people feeling a need or a crisis coming on that may not necessarily be affecting them at that particular moment.
Absolutely.
Fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We're talking with Matt House and Wendy Sullivan with Western Lane Fire and EMS and Melissa Pullhammer with Peace Harbor. We'll be back with more on this edition of Doc Talk.
With flu season in full swing, now is the time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama because beating cancer is our mission.
We are speaking about mobile integrated health in this edition of Doc Talk, and Melissa Pullhammer is here from Peace Health Peace Harbor Hospital. And I want you to get a plug in first about the financial aspect of this, because I know it's important. You know, in order to have this program, we have to have money for it, and some of the money or is community, some of it is hospital, right?
Correct. And the Peace Health Foundation has been funding the program. We're so grateful as a community, as a member of the community, and as an organization to have this benefit. And going forward, the funding is going to be ending shortly, I think sometime this year. And so they are actively working with Lane County and Oregon State to look at other options for funding.
And the success of this program has gotten the attention of Peace Health statewide and region-wide, right?
Correct. So we've been recognized system-wide through Peace Health, again, across Alaska, Washington, and the state of Oregon for the MIH work that we've been doing here in Florence. And they're working on programs throughout the other states and how we can integrate this into other communities. And it's also been nationally recognized through the American Hospital Association. They've done a podcast on our MIH program, and so I think that's something to really be proud of.
During the break, we were talking about referrals, so let's go to that and how referrals are done and how you guys are introduced to the patients from that aspect of it. Do you want to start, Melissa?
Yes, I can start. So being an inpatient case management supervisor, that's my role, and so I'm inpatient working with the patients as they are in the hospital or in the emergency department. So every Monday through Friday, we have a meeting at 8:30, and Wendy, our community paramedic, as well as our outpatient RNCCs, our inpatient nurse case managers, and Heather, our emergency department.
Let me pause you for a minute. RNCC, for those who are not in the biz, so to speak, explain what that is.
That's a registered nurse care coordinator.
Okay. So there you go. All right, now continue.
And so we meet at 8:30 daily, and we review the patients that are currently in the hospital. And we look at, they have essentially what's called a risk score. That's been something that's been vetted through best practice. And that risk score helps us determine potentially a need for a follow-up in the community. We also look at diagnoses medically and what their history has been. Are they in the emergency department frequently? Are they in the hospital frequently? And all of this is to help support these patients and keep them at home where they want to be. Nobody really wants to be in the hospital.
Right. And Matt kind of alluded to it before, the fact that going out and seeing them, when do you going out and seeing them, is in effect a much bigger savings from them coming to the ER.
Yes. Yeah.
So when the patients are referred and they get on your list, Wendy, then what happens from there?
They're referred. The emergency department community health worker actually helps me out a lot because she makes the phone calls and arranges for an appointment so the patient has a time to expect me to come visit. I set aside about an hour to actually be with the patient. It typically takes between half an hour and an hour. When I visit the home, I am looking for safety features. I sort of keep that to myself in the beginning because a lot of people are nervous about having someone come into their home and potentially they're worried about losing their home. They're worried about having to leave it.
So like with an elderly person, you might say like that's a tripping hazard or, you know, maybe you should rearrange the furniture in a different way. But you kind of work into that, though.
It's exactly.
Not like right off the bat go, oh, my goodness, you're going to kill yourself if you leave that there.
Exactly. Okay. I actually start off by asking if they have any idea who I am and why I'm there. And 99% of the time, the answer is no. And so I give them a short introduction to the mobile integrated healthcare program.
But they knew you were coming.
They knew I was.
Okay.
Mostly they knew I was coming.
Like I said, okay.
I explain what I do, and I explain basically that I'm a resource for them. I'm a resource to make sure that they have what they need. I like to tell people that integrated is my middle name and that part of my job is to make sure that they have the connections. I let them know that I'm somebody they can call if they feel like they want their vital signs checked later, that I don't have an end date, whereas home health has, you know, a certain number of visits and they have to check the box with the insurance company. I am able to just come out or give them a little bit of time if they need it. I let them know how that process works. I also ask them about questions with their discharge instructions. I'll go through their medications, make sure that they have a system for taking their medications properly, make sure they were able to get all their medications, find out if there are problems in that area. I can make phone calls while I'm actually there at the patient's house to doctors, to the triage nurses at the clinic, to the patient's pharmacy, and make sure that some of those issues get resolved while I'm there. I answer questions, and I let the patient know that I'm a resource for getting questions answered later. And I see if they'll let me do an inspection of their home.
So what I'm sensing is that a lot of times when people come back to the ER, it's because they're concerned about something that they may not have enough information about, not necessarily that there's a critical moment happening. And you being there in the house, you can help them avoid that step by giving them lots of information as well as care.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
You know, for example, we had somebody come back to the ER recently because they were unable to afford a prescription. And they had not, if they had a resource to call, they might have been able to get that resolved without having to come back.
So you can actually help people find resources to help pay for medications and things like that?
Or to help get a different prescription written that is covered by their insurance.
That's pretty cool.
And what I love, too, is that often patients don't qualify for home health. And so we can have Wendy go in to see them and kind of be that bridge between leaving the hospital, even either emergency or inpatient, and seeing their primary care provider. And so it's kind of just that bridge to be sure that somebody else is seeing them. And there's so much gained by going into somebody's home. I mean, we can see patients in the clinic or the hospital all day long, but we're not seeing what's happening in the home. And that's so important for diagnosing and just getting that whole picture, is to be able to see what's going on in the home.
I smile because, and this is off the subject totally, but it brings to mind, I've been married more than once. My first marriage, I was in school, and we weren't allowed to see this person outside of school because it was a very restrictive campus. So we didn't get to see them at home. So we didn't get to really know a lot what was going on. And I can see that, how that is effective to be in someone's home to see it from a different perspective. Because mm-hmm. you only see them when they're in their in the environment of the healthcare, and you learn so much more when you visit them at home.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so let's go back to financing again. You said that this is was a two-year pilot program. Money is coming to an end soon. What does it take a year to do this program in its current situation?
Everything together, roughly, it's just under $100,000 for just the one employee, and that includes wages, benefits, operation concerns, all
going
to
and from the houses. I mean, yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah.
So, what are the prospects for continuing this program then?
Don't put me on the spot there.
Yeah.
I think it's actually really high that we're continuing with the program, and where I'd heard news through different channels that Peace Health was looking at this seriously at the system level about continuing funding for the next couple of years. That's just hearsay. Haven't heard anything right. definitive, but it definitely came from a reliable source where I heard it from. So, and we're also, again, back to payer mixes, Pacific Source, Trillium, Medicare, Medicaid. And if we get some of that grants through them, then not only maybe we can grow this better, we can actually add additional employees, look at different ways we can implement these bridges across the system.
And like you say, it's a win-win for the insurance company because they're ultimately saving more money in the long run by funding programs like this.
Yeah, COO Jason Hawkins with Peace Health, he was able to demonstrate that every dollar that is spent into the healthcare system for the MIH actually saves roughly $5 into the whole healthcare system, meaning that if a patient were to go in and $1 was spent, but we actually are saving $5 by preventing them with the MIH program.
That's cool. So right now, do you, Wendy, do you take a unit out or do you take a vehicle? How do you get to and from homes?
The district vehicle. It's a suburban.
Is that the new one with the new lights and everything, or is that a different one?
No, it's a little more incognito than that.
Okay.
So it's just a plain white vehicle. It does have some minimal emergency supplies in it, as well as my regular equipment for taking vital signs and recording.
And you said you work 4/10s. How many hours of that do you feel like you spend in home? About half?
I spend 4 to 6 hours a day in homes most of the time.
So 60% of your time is spent in homes with people.
Right. Yeah, and our average monthly call volume for the MIH is over 50, and always it's been consistently over 50 over the last year for sure. And where that doesn't seem like a big number, it is actually a huge number of what we're deflecting away from the emergency department, preventing the 30-day readmits, and also for the EMS. When we have EMS high utilizers, she goes out and visits them and see what can we do to help you not, use the EMS system for i.e. lift assist and helping them off the floor, again, back into the home environment where we can get eyes on and see what we can do to assist them, preventing them from falling. You may have fallen and be a lift assist the first time, but the next time it could be catastrophic, and that's what we're trying to prevent.
And again, it is a matter of, being in someone's home, making them feel at ease, and taking care of some of their questions and some of their physical needs at the
Absolutely.
Same time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you to all three of you, Melissa Polhammer, Wendy Sullivan, and Matt House, for getting us some information on the mobile integrated healthcare and how that works in Florence. And good luck to you on the future.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.